or man shall bear their own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto them him that teaches in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. And we have therefore opportunity, as we have therefore opportunity, let's do good unto all, and the word men is in italics, so we'll skip that, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. It is encouraged in our present day to preach expository type messages. And I've done both. I've done expository. I think that's right. Doesn't sound right. Did I say that right? Did I? Okay. Didn't sound right. All right, now don't be laughing. Or doctrinal. And I've done both, and I enjoy this, the expositional type as well. In fact, I enjoy it much better. It's a little more educational, like teaching things. And so the idea here, as I look at it, I have three things that I want to talk about. A, B, and C. A is... Boy, my glasses are messing up. The spiritual are to restore. That's A. B is to carry each other's burdens. And C is when tired, opportunity, do good. Okay. Now, verse 1 speaks to us, and you're not unfamiliar with this. I know you're not. You've probably read it lots of times. And we've used it a lot. There's a lot yet to learn. And this particular book that we use as a model in our care team this is the verse that they spin off of. And I'll tell you a little bit about this. It's written by a man who was a counselor professionally, an office, and fell into an immoral relationship, got into a lot of legal battles, and it turned into a real situation that was put him out of business. And it was that caused him to want to looked at this verse and decided that there has to be a way for this to work. And he put together what they call a care team. And it really is, bottom line is, we should care for each other in a spiritual way. Now, there are ways to do that. And he says that if you're overtaken in a fault... And by the way, I like the King James Version translation. This is a translation. I shouldn't say version. But the translation here, the idea, it says overtaken. If you read it in the NIV, it says if you're caught in a sin. And so there is some difference in it has more the idea. And when I use the word caught, it would be interesting if I could see where your thoughts go in this whole idea of being overtaken or caught, or whether it's a sin or whether it's a fault. There's actually a difference in the whole idea, and I don't know the reason for translating the NIV, why they use the word caught in a sin, where the King James says, if you're overtaken with a fault, we are to not judge in this person, but we're to enter into a relationship with them to help them through this. Kind of tough, isn't it? Anybody got the time to do all that? I'm going to use an illustration. There's a certain mental issue called manic depression. They take lithium for this problem, and working in penitentiary, you learn a lot of this. I dealt with a lot of the different mental, that's not negative, but it's a chemistry weakness in our bodies. Like, I have a heart issue. I have to take medicine. So if you have other issues that your brain has got weakened salt, sodium, you need to take medicine so that it balances and helps you think. Well, manic depression is that. Well, I had a client, an inmate, that in those days, that was a long time ago, they would have pill lines, and they would go to the pill line, get their pills, and go back to the dorm and flush them down the toilet. Well, that doesn't help you a whole lot, doesn't give you what you need. Well, this one particular person did this, but he would come to my office every day for an hour, and he didn't need those pills. Interesting. He just was fine. And I had a real struggle trying to figure out if he really had a problem with manic depression. When he was on the streets, he definitely had the problem. And he did things that definitely got him in prison. So I went to those who had more knowledge, and I inquired, and I didn't dare to let anybody know that this man was doing that. I knew he was flushing them, but that was, if I would have said, I would have gotten in trouble. So that was a secret between he and I. But I found out, as long as he behaved himself, we could deal with this. And I found out that if an individual with manic depression spends 1 hour in counseling every day, they don't need medicine. Now, anybody here care to take on the job? Problem is, there is no way that anyone can do that. It's ridiculous to think that you're going to do that unless that's all you do. But who in the world of work, business, whatever, would have an hour a day to go and take care of that? It's a lot easier to just take a pill and go on with your drug. But for some reason, people who have deficiencies in this do not want to take medicine. I don't know why I'm on this subject, but it is a problem in that particular world, in the psychotic world. It's that they do not want to take medicine. I don't like to take medicine, but I want to live, and so that is what helps me. All right, now the idea that whether you're caught or overtaken, they sort of have the same idea, which is a fault would have the idea that it's unplanned. So get that idea of being caught out of your mind and go with overtaken, or go with a surprise thing. Something, this is no good place for me to do any betting at. I can't do any gambling up here, so I have to watch that. But I would say that everyone in this room has at one time or another did something that you were surprised at yourself and wondered why you did that. No amens on that one? Surprise me again. I am convinced, including me, I am guilty. I have done things, and later I'm thinking, why in the world did I do that? And I know that you're guilty too. You've done things that you later thought, Why did I do that? Now, the word sin does not really belong there. And in the context of planning a bad debauchery type of lifestyle, that's not where it fits. It's the idea of a surprise thing, and we've all done that, and in some cases probably done more than necessary or should have and took it a little bit too far. And so out of this, we have developed, and there has been, and I'm guilty, excommunication came into play through this, and this is not a place where it fits. I believe that excommunication has been abuse of power in many of us, and I'm guilty. I can tell you stories that I wish I would not be a part of. And I have changed my ways and have been happy with what I have done. Verse 2. Well, let me go back to verse 1. In order to restore, one must do so in meekness and humility, recognizing that our own weakness and our own brokenness fits the category. And when you are trying to encourage someone in the area of whatever problems they exist, that you would recognize that you have your own problems. And I remember so well older men who said to me, in dealing with church problems, be careful that you don't fall in the same. I've been guilty of working with lots and lots of issues in churches in the last 10, 15 years that I never thought I would be doing, working with leadership that have had issues of huge problems, church crisis, all kinds of things that we have addressed, worked with, and then that whole context, I have always thought, you know, I'm just as broken as they are. I just need to understand where they are, what their problem is, and try to help them through it. We're going to talk about that in the burden carrier. Verse 2, to carry each other's burdens. Next. How do you carry someone's burden who is fully in anxiety? Oh, you don't even know what that is. Let me tell you something. I don't know if you've ever been around a person that has had full-blown anxiety, but if you have, you know what I'm talking about. It can be real bad. Or other types of, I just threw that out there. There are others, less than that, but a burden would be something that is difficult to carry, something that's hard for us as individuals. It could be anything. It doesn't have to be anxiety. It can be a medical condition. For there are those we prayed for this morning for conditions of medical things that they are dealing with. What are we doing? Oh, I'm great. No, it's not true. So the idea of the burden is there's a load that somebody's carrying. And have you ever walked across the parking lot and you saw someone with their head down and hardly be able to walk and just sort of have no ambition. They're just sort of out of it. Did you ever think that maybe if you just go up alongside that person and say, hey, I care what something's going on in your life. Something's happening. Let me know if you ever want to talk, let me know. Most people will say, I don't want to talk. That's okay. Don't take it personal. Do it again. You'll get there. Carrying someone else's burden has to do with caring for them. There's lots of brokenness in this church, whether you know it or not. Maybe you don't think so, but there is. But I think we ought to care for each other in that area of brokenness. Now, some of you do really good. Some of you are doing great. You'll call people and say, hey, we missed you. Cared about, we thought about you. Those are good things. Now, I'm told, and this is what I learned, that if we carry each other's burdens, then we are fulfilling the law of Christ. Now, there are two words here that I'm going to try to share them with you. I failed to put them on my list here, but there are two different words in the Greek for burden, by the way. Now, I've often struggled with that thing that says, we are to carry each other's burdens, but then it also says, verse 4, it's we're to prove our own work. And maybe I should bring that in at this time. No, I don't have it in here. Let me try to share with you what I can remember. There are two words in the Greek for the word burden. One meaning that we're to care for each other, for the other person. And then the other one is that we have to give account for our own actions as well. That's the whole idea of this burden thing. It's not very clear, it's not very plain, but that's the idea that we are to do that. Now, we are told, it brings out that we are to do this, and so we will fulfill the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? You'll find just there are many, but I'm going to give you one. John 13:34 says, Jesus said, we are to love each other as I have loved you. That's pretty important. I mean, you think about how did Jesus love us, we're to do that as well. Verse 3 says, when we think we're strong, we need no help, we need no sympathy. There is that thing, you know, leave me alone, don't bother me, I'm okay, I got it. And all the time, you know they don't. And we tend to walk away and leave it and not bother with it. And that's not right. That's not what the Bible is saying. There is obviously a deception when we do that. When I say to you, leave me alone, don't bother me, there's deception. Verse 4, there's a test. My actions, do they meet the test? Does my work pass this? What is my attitude toward others? Am I critical? Do I find fault with others in a very easy manner? Verse 5. Bearing one another's burdens, and this is maybe where I was a little bit ago. Yes, I'll do it again. Bearing one another's burdens, our own burdens, trials, and sufferings. The word burden has two meanings in the Greek, does not appear in the English language. First, giving aid to our brother or sister. Second is that we give account to God for ourselves. That's the idea that he's presenting. Verse 6. We are to reach out in helping others when we have been helped. Let me read that verse for you. That's a hard one. I found that difficult. Let him that is taught in the word, communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. Now, this is where King James is throwing, it throws me for a loop because I had to really work on that verse to come out with what it meant. And this is what I came up with, is that when I get help, then I should, If I get something that really blesses me, then I should be willing to reach to others. Now, one of the things that I've seen is someone who has really experienced the miraculous gift of forgiveness from God. Those of us that and I'm not one of those, but those who have grown up in a protected environment and have never been exposed to a lot of debauchery and drunkenness and all that, would find it probably more difficult. But a person who has grown up or taken out of, for example, guys in prison, you find it all the time. They get saved, and that is such a beautiful experience that they just want to tell other people, and they want to go out and preach. And I find that true not just in prison, but I find it true in other places as well. But the whole idea that he talks about is that if you have experienced it, then you should reach out in others as well. That's a good thing. Verses 7, 8, and 9 are all together. It's about deception. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Be careful. This is what he's saying. You sow to the flesh, what happens? You sow corn, you hope to get corn. You sow wheat, you hope to get wheat. Flesh, you get flesh, huh? Get it back, same thing. Spirit, if you sow to the Spirit, how do you do all that? Well, I don't think that's a secret. I think you know that what we feed ourselves with is what we're going to have. What we get, we read the Bible, we have thoughts about the Bible. If we read good books, we feed our mind with the right things, it'll get out, the right things will come out. So we have to be very careful. Verse 10, closing. Getting tired of a whole mess? Well, he says here that we will get weary, and you do. You know, there are those who never get done sharing their story. Now, that doesn't bother me, but it does bother people who, depending what your gifting is, storytelling does and will and can get old to someone who's got a certain gift. Okay? Prophets don't do good on that. It's like, if you're a prophet, there's no black, no white. There's no gray. It's all black. No, it ain't either. It's whatever. You get your act together. Get it done. Go on. Tell your story one time, that's enough. But if you're mercy and if you're exhortation or whatever, you will take time and you'll listen. Check yourself out. I don't know. I don't know where you're at. But it is saying that we should take opportunity to do good. Always. Sometimes I don't feel like it. Do you? You ever feel that way? Get up in the morning, I don't feel like being good today. I just don't. Just leave me alone. Oh, by the way, I put in here, this works for mothers in the home as well. Now, I know that mothers get real weary. I know that. But the scripture would say, cheer up. You say, well, I'd like to be somewhere else telling people about God. Listen, if you're a mother, and this is it, if you're a mother and you have children, you have the biggest job in the world and the most important job in the world to share with your children. And as they grow up, that's going to reach out and it'll just vibrate as they understand what you taught them as a mom, not only taught, but lived, and how you lived that out. So I go back to say, getting tired and weary, don't give up. But be careful how you demonstrate your life to your children, because they watch. As I'm older now and my boys are all getting old too, but they say things to me that I never thought that I taught them. So obviously they were watching what I did. And that is the way it works. And you will experience the same. So mothers, please be encouraged. God made you a mother for a reason. He gave you the task. And your home is a mission field of the biggest and the greatest that I could even think of. Do we have a song? 592 in the hymnary. Shall we stand? God, we appreciate everything you've done to help us. We appreciate your presence here today, recognizing this day as the day that you have made. We know you make every day, but today is always a day. Sunday is always a special day. And it always reminds us of the resurrection, and it's Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And Jesus, we know that you and we recognize you as the Son of God and the Christ, the Savior, and you're the Savior to us. Help us to be faithful in the work you've called us all to do. And Galatians 6 gives us instructions to how to do it. Please help us to follow those instructions and to be very careful and not to become too weary, but when we do, to realize that you have called us to do good things and to do good things to others. Help us to realize that we are also broken and need healing and need help as well. Help us to be humble and to be meek and to realize that you are the greatest there is, and we would serve you in that capacity, in encouraging others and helping others in doing your will, and encourage them to go along life's pathway in the best way that they can. Thank you for helping us do all these things, and we do this and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.